You know, I'm kind of fascinated by the disciples and the differences. When we're reading the words of the disciples, there's so much interest in there because their personalities are so much different. And you can see it in their writings and the way that they write. Peter, I mean, he was the strong, outgoing, I'm going to be there, I'm the toughest, I'm going to be. In his writings, you see it. Matthew, I mean, he was the intelligent one, and everything had to be meticulous the way that he described everything. And then there's John. And I'm really fascinated with John because he had several books out there. He had the book of John, first of all. Then he had the letters, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and then Revelation on Patmos Island when he was in exile, and he was able to write that one. I'm not going to talk on that today, though. We don't have anywhere near enough time to talk about that. Revelation is an interesting book. Someday we'll do a long Sunday school study on the book of Revelation. But what I am going to speak a little bit on is in 1 John 1, 5 through 8, and he said, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declared unto you, that God is the light, and in him no darkness at all." Okay, that's kind of the crust of what I'm going to speak a bit on. But then he goes on to say, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." Oh, I'm with you. I'm fellowshipping with you in darkness. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us of all sins. There's an important connection between the light and the forgiveness of sins. We'll get into that in a little bit. Then it said, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth isn't in us." I don't sin. I don't have any sins. I don't have anything to declare. I never did. Yeah, right. How much time do we have? Luckily, in the eyes of the Lord, that's all gone. Jesus took care of that for us. And God himself had said that there was sin within the world. In Ecclesiastes 7:20, God said, "For there is not a just man upon the earth." Not one. Not one person just upon the earth. None of us, regardless of how much we want to think we're holy and we're great and we're all this, we're still, there's not a just man among, without the blood of Christ. And in John, 1 John 1, 9 through 10, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from our unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Just amazing that there's so much there. John has been talking about his relationship with Jesus. The disciples, when they were writing these, They actually walked with Jesus. He was the opening. He was there. But I'm talking about Jesus being the light of the world. What is the light? If we go back, I've always been very fascinated with this and understanding the explanations in Hebrew. Genesis 1:1-5. You know, that's the very beginning where we start off. The most read part of the Bible. People read that, put the Bible down, don't read it again for a year. Start back over with Genesis 1 again. It is actually the most read part of the Bible. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth, upon the deep. And the Spirit of God moved about the face of the water. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning of the first day. The reason I'm reading this part talking about the light is understanding the true Hebrew definition of the word light, and understanding what it is and the importance of it in our salvation through Jesus. And then in Genesis 1:14-16, and God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be signs for all the seasons and for the years and the days. Let them be a light in the firmament of the heaven, giving light upon the earth, and it was so. And God said, made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night, and it was so. Again, this is just coming through the utterances of God. How many of us can just say, let there be a fish over here for supper? Where is it? It's not. But God is so omnipotent, so powerful, so wonderful, that his word, all he had to do was speak, let there be light. And there was light. But as we look at the two lights, God's talking about light on day one. On day four, he created light. So when we look at that and we say, oh, wait a minute. If he had light and he created light, what? Well, when you look at the Hebrew word for the light in Genesis 4, it actually, I read the Tanakh a lot, which is the direct Hebrew translation, and in that it says, and God created a luminous, a light that shines from afar, comes down from afar. I mean, you go out and the sun is shining right now. We go out, the sun is there. It's shining on us. You go out and there's the moon is out at night and you get this beautiful moonlight and you're out there and it shines upon us. But in the Hebrew word for when God created light in the beginning, the first light, when God said, let there be light, it's all-encompassing light, complete, no darkness. There's not a shadow. You can't have a shadow if it's not luminous. It's all-encompassing. There are no shadows. It's perfect, complete light, no darkness. None can enter the light. The light is Jesus. Darkness cannot enter. The devil cannot enter. When God separated the light from the darkness, he was separating good from evil. And evil was there. But it couldn't do anything without God. In John, John, the gospel, verse 1, 4 and 5, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Again, like I said, darkness can't even begin to start understanding God. He can't understand Jesus. He can't understand it. It's, I'm evil and you're good. I can't. There's no comprehending or understanding. The devil can't understand Jesus. He's afraid of him. He knows that. He cowers in his presence. And then John 8:12. Then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that cometh me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have life and light forever. You're gonna coming unto Jesus. He is the light, the all-encompassing light. There's no shadow. There's nothing there. But you know, we have choices. And thank God he gave us our freedom to choose. We're not all robots, otherwise we'd be walking around, No, he gave us free will. He gave us free choice. It's what we do with that free will and that free choice. Where does it put us? So we could claim that we are children of God. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. But I'm living in darkness. A good example, one of my favorite movies that I really enjoy, and every now and then I still watch it, is the old movie, The Godfather. And in that movie, The Godfather, the new Godfather, Michael, is becoming a godfather to his sister's child. And I remember in the movie, you're sitting there, and he says, the priest says to him, he says, Michael, have you been baptized? Yes, I have. Bang, 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 bang. 40 people got killed. He just shot up a whole bunch of people. Do you believe in Jesus? Yes, I do. Bang, 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 more of that. Do you denounce the devil? Yes, boom, they killed the rest of them. Murdered all these people. While he's standing there claiming, I am a child of God. I'm saved. I'm not. Okay, kill the rest of them. Anybody else gets in my way gets the same. We're going to continue gambling, prostitution, racketeering. It's okay. So we have a choice. We can proclaim Jesus. We can even accept him. Jesus, I accept you. But live in total darkness and think it's okay. It's all right to live in the darkness. So where do we go from there? Don't expect to be entering heaven and God saying, oh, well done, my good and faithful servant who lived in darkness, who felt it was okay to break all my laws, break everything that I put forth. It's okay. I don't think so. I don't think that'll be happening. And then, of course, then you have the luminous light, the light that shines from afar. And as we look at that, we see that there's shadows. I was out walking my dog the other day. Of course, things always come to me when I'm walking the dog. But I'm walking the dog, and the sun was shining, and it was a shadow of him. And I was thinking, okay, that's the darkness. So we're living in what we believe and hope is a godly life, where we're serving God, we're spending time with God, and there's shadows of things that are coming down upon us. And those shadows are the darkness. But how we react to them, because we're going to, from time to time, everybody stumbles a little bit. And that's when the shadows show up. So if we have the shadow, it's what do I do with it? Do I accept it? It's just one little shadow. It don't matter. I had another one. It was all right. It was okay. That didn't matter. Yeah, I was tempted to be unfaithful to my wife. Yeah, it doesn't matter. It was only once or twice. Or do we denounce it and say, Lord, forgive me for what those thoughts that hit my brain or those actions that I was doing that was wrong. Lord, help me. Because I can only do it through you. I can't do it through my own strength. Help me, Lord. Keep me clean. It's how we look at the shadows and how we go through it. So far you've got living in total darkness and thinking you're fine, you're saved. We're living in a godly world, godly light, but we're letting the shadows overtake us. The other one is the all-encompassing light. And I'll be honest with you, it's the hardest one to live in. It really is. It's really the hardest. It's the best. But that's all encompassing. That all I want to do is serve the Lord. Lord, tell me what you want me to do today. When I get up, praise you, Lord. Glorify your name, Lord. I'm going to live for you today, Lord. I want to be your servant. Tell me what you want me to do today. And even though I'm in the world, I'm not of the world, and I'm doing businesses, but the Lord is still in my heart. The Lord is still in my mind. I remember years ago working at Chrysler as a manager, and we had a meeting, a training session, and we were talking about one another, different people, and how they inspired us. And I had the plant manager at that time, and he turned to me and he says, I got to tell you this. I'm grateful that Steve is a part of this organization. He said, because every day he reminds us through his actions and the way that he's living that there's more than just us, there's God. And he serves Jesus. And he's not afraid to tell everybody he serves Jesus. He says, even to the point that I told him to take religious things off his desk. And he told me, as soon as I take off everything off of my desk, he'll take it off of his. He said, I could have fired him for insubordination. He says, but all I did was respect him because he was true to his God. It's very hard to live in pure light, in the all-encompassing light. We have to work at it. It's attainable. It's our, let's say, more or less than attainable, I would say it's our ultimate goal to live in that light, that all-encompassing light. We do tend to live in the luminous light more, where we have shadows, and it's, again, we have to react to those shadows and learn to fight against them, not accept them. You know, over the years, it's been kind of amazing that how do we get to these, or shoot for this light? How do we prepare ourselves? How do we train ourselves? How do we get there? But you know, there's really three different kinds of Christians out there. They have different categories, shall we say, of what they are. They're born again, they're saved, they're going to heaven. When they die, they're going to be in the presence of the Lord. They have not lost their salvation. But there's differences in how we go about trying to improve our lives, how to train ourselves, how to come up with it. Now, the first type, there's three different types that I have here, but the first type is, how many of you have been out west and seen those weeds that are growing there, and then they die off, and the wind catches them, and they blow here, and they blow there, and they're tumbleweeds. They go from wherever the wind blows, that's where they're going. Well, you know, things are really great at Bethel. I'm going to Bethel. Oh, wow, that's, you know, John Kilpatrick's down in Alabama now, and I heard it was really good. I'm moving to Alabama. I'm going to go there. I'll go sit under him for a week or two. And then, oh, wow, there's another place, and they specialize in music. I want to learn how to play the guitar. So I'm going there. I'm going to go to that church. Well, you know, I don't really care for the Pentecostals spend too much time in church. I'm going to go to the Lutheran church now. I'm going to go spend some time there. I don't care for that. I'm going to become a Baptist. Once saved, always saved. I'm in good shape. And a tumbleweed. They're never grounded. They never stay anywhere long enough to really build a relationship with the members of the church, with the church body, and they never stay long enough to really even understand how to strive for that all-encompassing light. Even the light of the shadows, they're not there with the luminous light. They're not living there because they're bouncing around too much. They're not grounded. They do and did accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Another one is very common, really. And that's, you ever see a sponge? They have them in the ocean. There's these sponges, and they divers go down and, you know, pick up these sponges, and they bring them up, and they dry out. Then they sell them, and people put water on them, and you can use these sponges for all kinds of things. They're really valuable. Except when you're a sponge, you need to be a sponge in the body of Christ. That I need to, I'm getting dry. Oh, I'm getting dry. As a dried sponge, I need to get moisture. Okay, well, I'm going to Brownsville. That'll do it. And I mean, there was nothing wrong with Brownsville. It was fantastic being there and going to Brownsville. But you had to be a sponge to, oh, I'm saturated again. I'm on fire. I come back and I'm all excited. I'm going to do all kinds of things, and I'm on fire for the Lord this week. Couple of weeks later, I'm slowing down again. I'm not reading my word. I'm not interested in this ministry that I was going to join. But I got saturated. I went to another church, and there was another meeting, and I went to Bethel, and they were really excited. And I got moisture. But a sponge continues to dry unless it's fed. It has to have water. But it's still just a sponge that will dry out. And most of us have a tendency to do that. We have a tendency to, okay, I'm here in church on Sunday, and I'm excited, and I'm anxious. Oh, that was a great word. Not in my case, but that was a great word. And, oh, man, you know, it's what Bruce talked about last week really inspired me. And, I can't wait till next Sunday. Maybe I can get going again, because by Friday, I'm pretty well done. I can't do much. I'm not spending any time in the Word. I'm just going to turn TV on and watch, you know, like my wife would be Hallmark. But it's human nature to need that filling. But there are ways to work around that and change. And there's one other form, hardest one to get to, but the best. I don't know where Caitlin is right now, but I know Caitlin brought in some cucumbers today. She brought in a whole bunch of cucumbers from her garden. And the thing is, if you take the cucumber just like it is and you peel it and eat it, the cucumber. But take that same cucumber and can it in pickle juice and pickle that cucumber. What happens to it? It's not a cucumber anymore. It's not that cucumber. It's a pickle. It completely changed. It changed so immensely. But you know what? You can't take it back and make it a cucumber. It's changed permanently. Forever changed. Just complete, total change of life. Studying, reading, being there. Not many of you know him, but he was an elder here at this church and a tremendous man of God and tremendous friend, Gaylord Kling. Gaylord was a drug addict. He was an alcoholic. He was on drugs heavily. And I believe it was the coffee shop downtown is where he got saved. And when he got saved, things really changed. Because he went from that cucumber to the pickle instantly, overnight. Once the Lord got a hold of him, there was no stopping him. And a person living in the light, the all-encompassing light, was Gaylord. All he cared about was spreading the gospel, bringing more people to the Lord, being there with the drug addicts, being there with people that needed it. Always, always there. He loved the Lord so much. He didn't care what people thought. We used to have a choir, and I don't know how many times we remember seeing Gaylord up in the choir, and all of a sudden he'd start to bounce up and down. He'd bounce up and down in place, and all of a sudden there he was down the stairs, boom, 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 praising God and just glorifying the Lord. He couldn't control himself. He couldn't help it. He changed from being that cucumber to that pickle, and there was no going back. There was never even a thought of going back. And he has since gone on to get his reward and be with the Lord. But just a tremendous example for the rest of us of what it should be like. What should we be doing? How should we be serving? Okay, well, how do you become that pickle? You do it through your Bible, through your word, through fellowship with others, being around others of like mind. You don't want to hang around abusive husbands and alcoholics and say, oh, that's my friendship, that's what I'm going to be. It's going to rub off. It's going to rub off, believe me. No, you want to be around like people. You want to continue to serve one another. I think one of the biggest keys is not what I can do for me. What can I do for others? How can I serve the body? How can I serve people? What can I do to be encouragement to others? What can I say to help you? What do you need? Let me be an example. And if I stumble a little bit, Lord, help me. Know that we can't do it on our own, that we can only do it through Christ. It's a choice. That's what we have, though. Understanding the choice we have. Knowing that we're saved. But how do we want to live this time? And when we come before the Lord, whether it be in a rapture or whether it be the Lord's calling me home tomorrow, and we never know. That's another thing. Church, you never know when the Lord's going to knock on your door and say it's time. I remember when I was younger, my younger days, like, well, 55 years ago, I was finishing off Marine Corps boot camp, and I was immortal. I didn't even think about death. There was no such thing. I couldn't die. And now I'm just waiting for the Lord to say, come on home. He'll call me when he's ready. In the meantime, I got work to do. But understanding that it's what we're doing. So when the Lord knocks on our door and says it's time, will he say, well done, my good and faithful servant? Or will he say, oh, come on in? Which way do you want it? You want, when you face the Lord, do you want him to say, well done? Or say, oh, it's you, come on. Yeah, I got a place for you over here. Yeah, it's one of them cardboard boxes. Just go ahead. But, I mean, we'll still be in heaven regardless. But it's what we do while we're here in serving him. John, in his writings, he said Jesus is the Word. The Word was him. Where he's speaking there is that the Word, let there be light, was the utterances of God. So Jesus was that Word. And Jesus was part of that Word. But understanding that he gave everything for us. And John explains, look, I walked with him. I knew him. Now I want to give to you what I got from him. That's our job. Give what we have received to others. Whether it be knowledge that we have learned, whether it be friendship, whether it be a hot chicken dinner to a homeless person. handing it out and giving it to them just because. Because that's what Jesus would want us to do. That's the life. That's, and but you do it without, well, let's see. I've got to give a sandwich to the sick. I got to visit that elderly. It's nature. We just do it. That's living in the all-encompassing light. Just doing it. Don't even think about it. We don't think about it. I see somebody broken down on the side of the road. I stop and help. I don't even think about, oh, gee, what would the Lord want me to do? No, I go do it. They need it. Someone needs something, we give it. Just as Jesus gave us the greatest gift of all, which was his blood, his sacrifice, and our salvation, we need to spread that to others and be able to say, Jesus loves you. I remember David Wilkerson was in New York. He went to a inner city, and he wasn't from New York, but he went there. The Lord told him to go and to get with the gangs, the street gangs. There were some pretty vicious New York street gangs. And he met up with the leader of the Mau Maus, they were called. And he met up with the leader, little short Puerto Rican guy who had committed murder, rape, robberies. He was vicious. He was just terrible, vicious, vicious man. And he proceeded to beat David Wilkerson. He was going to beat him to death. And he had him down, bloody, broken, kicking him in the face, and said, "What about your God now?" And Wilkerson looked to him and said, "Nicky, God still loves you." Change became the pickle. His entire life changed that moment because that one man was willing to give it all the way to death. He was willing to let this man beat him to death if he could just bring that one word to him. And Teen Challenge and all, how many of you have heard of Teen Challenge? And that was Nicky Cruz and David Wilkerson were the ones that got that originally started and going. And we've been fortunate. We had Nicky Cruz here a couple of times. And I have never felt the love of God off of anybody as I did him. Just a tremendous man of God. He still is. He's still serving the Lord. And he's spending his time in the inner cities with these kids, bringing them to God. All because we're doing what the Lord said we should be doing. That's part of how we live and try to strive for the all-encompassing light. I'm going to close now, and I'd like to take the opportunity to open the altar. And if anything I've said today has touched you in any way, shape, or form, you need to spend some time with the Lord. These altars are always open. So I'm going to go ahead and close for now. And Heavenly Father, Lord, I just ask that you bless your people here today, Lord. And I just pray that each and every one of us strive more to serve you, to be your servant, to strive for the light of Jesus, the light of the world. Father, and I just pray a blessing over this entire congregation, all that are here, and a lot that I know there's a lot traveling and a lot that aren't here, Lord. Bless them as well. Give them health. Give them prosperity. And give them just a fantastic, wonderful week. and the desire, Lord, to serve you all the more. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.